As you've been hearing, the challenges that all of the country's church leaders are facing today are enormous. Brazil is the world's eighth largest industrialized nation, but the contrasts between rich and poor are more extreme here than in almost any other country. Nearly half of Brazil's population earns less than $2 a day, and the huge number of poor people includes millions who try to eke out a living in the shanty towns around the big cities. Cecilia Iorio heads the Brazil programme at CAFOD, the aid and development agency of the Catholic bishops in England and Wales. She talked to my colleague Susie Hodges about Brazil's many social and economic woes.
Today, the reality is there is a lot of gang crime, and it's still the police perpetrate a lot of crime, and among themselves, because life on the street is quite dangerous, and those many of them are involved in gangs of robbery or drug dealers or prostitution networks. They are always in very dangerous business. That is the only way they can get some money.
One of the biggest problems facing Brazil is the enormous divide between the rich and the poor. Is this a divide that's getting wider?
Yes, I think it's, as everywhere, is wider, even within the new programs that the government is putting in place to raise income of low-level income families. Is the number of people getting richer is still going.
Why is that, though?
Well, historical factors, I mean, because the wealth, if Brazil is growing, and the growth now is not bigger as it should be, to incorporate those young people that reach the market every year. But even growing at 3.2, 2.8, bulk of this growth goes to those who have the land, who have money, those who run the business, the businesses. Is still there? Is still our reality? We didn't have a social reform that could split the cake, slice the cake, and give it to every sector a slice. We still give it to some just the crumbs of the cake.
The present government, in fact, when it came to power, promised to find homes for hundreds of thousands of landless families. I mean, it hasn't kept those promises very well, though, has it?
Well, their promise in numbers, they are lagging behind since the first government. The announcement was that 420,000 landless families will be settled, and was the maximum after 4 years in power. And this is the reason that now there is a massive movement of land occupation, because Lula was re-elected, but his promise of the first term is still unfinished. It's there.
Is that because their entrenched interest and the powerful landowning families are trying their best to fight any chance of, shall we say, land reform?
This is the classical problem, but also now, because the growth in Brazil is more based on agricultural commodity, then land again is a big asset. And for the whole soya plantation that is devastating large ecosystems like Amazon, Cerrado, is it still land is something that make money. Then again, everything is blocked. And even now, the problem is more with the judicial system, because many of the occupation, they get blocked by the judicial systems, and there is a legislation that protect and promote land reform. But then when the process goes to the judicial, then the landowner gets the right back, because there is also the civil code protecting their property. Then it's a long battle, and no sign of major progress for those landless families.
Climate change, of course, has become much more of a high-profile political issue worldwide over the past year or so. Has the Brazilian government stepped up its efforts there to try to slow down the destruction of the Amazon rainforest, or is the illegal logging still continuing at the same level?
Yeah, I think there is a concern from the government, but there is a double message. There is the concern about the greenhouse and all this, the climate change problem as a whole. But it's still, the government is trying to, for example, split the environmental ministry in two, to facilitate the approval of the building of new big electrical power station, big dams. It's complicated because at the same time there is this rush to develop the country, there is this rush to increase the annual growth, and the government option is to go for the easy way to do the things. Then soya plantation, let's grow. We need more energy to be able to process minerals. I think we are very much using a very, very old style of development. Unfortunately, with the whole wealth of Brazil, we are still doing very much the old model, that is, first let's destroy everything, let's make money fast and quick, and we are putting in danger people's life, indigenous communities, traditional communities, forests, everything, just to grow, and a grow that is not being divided in a fair way with the whole society.
Celia Iorio there, head of the Brazil program at CAFOD, talking to Susie Hodges. Another development expert concerned with issues of poverty, the environment, and especially the plight of the landless poor in Brazil is Franciscan Friar Rodrigo Peret.
We believe the Pope is going to support the land reform and support the land struggle as the Church has been doing many decades. Brazil's land reform program has settled nearly 1 million families on small farms of their own in the last 20 years. But there is no consensus on the effort which the government success, the landless movement, sees as insufficient. Well, during Lula presidency, his first term, 380,000 families were granted a plot of land, and complementary policies were adopted, but they are not sufficient. The government has failed to live up its own national agrarian reform plan, and the goal wasn't reached in his first term. And besides, the landless movement continues to call for a broader, fast land reform.
You're saying that although many families have benefited from Lula's reform program, there are still many, many more who are in desperate need.
Yes, there are many, many more families, and there's the necessity of more structures. The government is strengthening the land reform institutions, but it's still not sufficient. And the big issue nowadays is that the increase of the monoculture, especially with the sugarcane, or what is so-called the biofuels. We think that the agribusiness, the big agribusiness, the policies, the government, the federal government policies toward the big ag business are interesting, are good, but the monoculture harms the environment and take a lot of land, especially when you're talking about sugarcane, which is the big issue nowadays. We know the environmental impacts of the sugarcane in the fields.
Another problem for the landless people or those trying to eke out a living in farming is the problems of the militias who often attack these people who try and get them off the land. Is this still as much of a problem as it was?
Yes, it depends on the area in the country. But one good news is that this government is not criminalizing the grassroots movements as the other government used to do. But we still have a lot of violence in the fields, and there's a necessity of the presence of the government in the sense of to finish with impunity. This year we celebrated the second anniversary of the killing of the Sister Dorothy, and we know that many, many of these killers and those who command them to kill are still in freedom.
Is the government listening to this request? Is there any sign that they will, in fact, begin to try and catch and bring to justice those responsible for these kind of crimes?
There is a better will nowadays with Lula's government policies, especially towards against violence. But violence is also the public security, it's responsibility of the single state. So it depends also on the local governors and the state police. And also, when we talk about the judiciary in Brazil, we still need a big reform to make it more accountable and to be more open to social issues.
Franciscan Friar Rodrigo Peret there, who works with Brazil's bishops in supporting the landless movement.